Helo, a croeso nôl i'r pod doctoriaid Cymraeg, penod 5.
Penod 5 yn barod. Yeah, there's a bit of a lapse, not a lapse, what's the word? A hiatus. Should we say hi? I'm happy with that. Hiatus,
I like that.
Yeah.
So do we
ddim yn siŵr beth ydy hiatus yn Gymraeg.
Just
Bethany,
nice.
Yeah.
Just oedi, byswn i'n deud yn Gymraeg.
Oedi, yeah, oedi. A bit of a pause, should we say. But yes, we are back.
Oherwydd, though, ni di wedi bod yn brysur. We
brysur
have been
iawn.
Busy people. A ella, byswn neis just sôn chydig bach am hynny.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to sort of keep up with where we've been and things like that, I suppose. But I don't know where to start, really. It's just...
I think one of the first things that nath ymyrryd, that interfered.
Interfered. We've got some good words today, I like this.
Amdro, which means going for a walk.
Oh, of course.
Not that we were on this programme together.
No.
We are on separate episodes.
Yeah.
So to
put a bit of a context there for those who don't know, think come dine with me and then... it's like that, but in Welsh, except you don't make food for people, you take them on a walk.
But you do then make food for them.
You do also make food, so it's one up on Come Dine With Me, most definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a cool experience. I knew you were going on it, and I knew I was going on it, so there was a part of me going, oh, this would be cool if we're on the same one.
And the reason he knew was because I was panicking about my picnic panic, and
picnic panic.
Sent him a message saying, Stephen, what would you do if you were going on this? And he went, actually, I am going
it's,
on
it's
it.
It's funny
so
you should say that, Sarah, yeah. And I couldn't believe it when you asked me. I thought, I can give you some ideas, but then I don't want to give mine away, so...
Yes. So, at least you didn't give me any wrong ideas, any bad ideas.
Fair enough. Well, I don't know how you did, and you don't know how I did. So I'm intrigued, because we're on this series, aren't we? Mm. And we're about halfway through the series now. A good friend of mine, Hannah, was on it 2 weeks ago, and she was brilliant. And I'm looking forward. I've got a couple of weeks. So Amdro, S4C, do we ddim yn siŵr pryd yn union? Not sure exactly when, but in the coming weeks.
Yn y gwanwyn, nath nhw ddeud wrtho fi.
Oh, did they in the spring? See, I was thinking it was going to be more this month. So either way, keep your eyes peeled on S4C.
Yeah.
So it was a good experience, though. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
To meet people from totally different areas of Wales, with totally different backgrounds, and just not be forced to get on with them, because they were great people. But, you know, you were thrust into that...
People you probably wouldn't have met before,
exactly,
or perhaps
that.
Wouldn't have slowed down from the busy schedule and spent some time with them.
Gosh, do you know what? I totally forgot about it. I'm so glad you brought that up. A bit of appetizing for that, I think. That's all right. Yeah, so
and you will
experience.
See that on my walk, dwi'n edrych fy mod wedi blino. I look like I'm very tired. A mae hynna herwydd nes i orgymhellethu yr picnic. I overcomplicated my picnic.
Orgymhellethu. Oh my word. We are coming out with some words today.
So I basically was up all night doing my making the food for my picnic. But it was worth it because I felt that I had introduced them to something that was very interesting.
Okay.
And it is also, plug, something that is related to my new poetry book, which is going to be published by Farmadan very shortly.
Well, we'll need to hear a bit more about that. But yes. I feel awful now because you brought up the food, and I literally thought, look, I can't cook. I try. dwi ddim yn dda iawn am goginio, right? I'm not very good at cooking. Dwi ddim yn dda iawn am goginio. So I just thought, why try and push the boat out? I just made cheese butties. You can laugh while you're like...
I do like a cheese butty, though.
This is the point, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I like a cheese butty. I am able to create a cheese butty, Brechdan Gauss. I can do that. However, that's about as far as it goes. So that is what I did.
Slice a tomato. And
then that would involve me slicing a tomato, Sarah, and I would inevitably hurt myself. So...
I took a cheese butty when I was meeting with the presenter to do the recce.
Yes.
I actually had a cheese butty in my bag.
It's an absolute winner. It's an absolute winner. So you will all have to watch and wait and see
what
if we've been successful and all this sort of stuff. But yes, Amdro, have a look on the S4C website as well. It'll be coming out soon, but keep an eye on our socials as well, and we'll certainly chuck that out there. Do you know what, though? I have to chuck in there. I'm so sorry. Have to chuck in there and ruin it for people if they listen to this before it comes out. There was one moment we were having a chat after, you know, they do the sort of interviews after.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, so it's a wedding mwyn hai heddiw. Have you enjoyed it? It's a wedding mwyn hai heddiw. I said, do, it's a wedding mwyn hai. My tywydd yn braf. And I was explaining it was a lovely day and all this. And they said, well, beth am y bwyd? And to be fair, you know, the food was relatively nice that I just had. It, you know, it was probably better than a cheese butty. But, you know, it was just right. So I was talking, obviously answering Welsh. I was saying, yeah, my bwyd yn neis. And I said, especially after a long walk, I said... And then I turned to English and went, it was just what the doctor ordered. Now, you're laughing already, right? See, the problem was I didn't recognise what I'd said at the time.
Yeah.
I just said, because it's just a phrase, isn't it? I said, it's just what the doctor ordered. And then realising what I'd done, I turned to face the camera, because you sort of film facing the other way, don't you? And I turned to face the camera, did the cheekiest and stupidest wink you've ever seen, and went, just what Dr. Cymraeg ordered. And then at which point I turned to Sian, the one who was sort of doing all the filming for us, wasn't she? And I turned to her and I said, I'm so sorry about that, cut it out. And she went, nope,
not
that's staying
absolutely.
In.
So absolutely, that's the sort of thing
they want.
And I
looked at her and I went, please. Do
it. It's a Freudian slip though, isn't it?
It was indeed
because
a Freudian slip.
You're thinking.
I don't make them very often because I'm not a very clever person. But however, that might mean you make more of them. But,
yeah, it's your subconscious, isn't
but
it?
It's a subconscious. So I had to share that with you and I'm really scared that she's going to keep it in the final cut.
Of course she's keeping it in.
And
absolutely.
There will be a text to her with strong words in it, in both Welsh and English, she will get from me when that comes out.
That's
so,
the language that you've made up because you're so cross.
Yes.
But anyway, so I'd like to thank Alan Paxton, big shout out to him, because very recently we had been trying to organise to do another pod, and then we had an email, lovely email from him, where he had just discovered the pod, and he was saying, oh, diolch am gwneud hyn, thank you for doing this, are you going to make any more? And that really did give us a prompt. We should also thank lots of our other listeners who have been in touch at various times, including at the Eisteddfod. When
indeed.
You were giving your presentation, there were people saying, are you going to do another part?
Yeah, because you were there as well, and you came to, and sort of, I think people seeing us both together sort of made the connection, and it's not something we've pushed massively, and I think we need to do it a bit more, but you know, there does seem to be some really loyal people who want to listen to us, and it's honestly, it's breathtaking, it's wonderful, it actually means
surprising,
the world. It is surprising, but what I was saying to you before we started recording was, there's so many people out there who come to us, and you know, you and I do things that are bonkers, you know, we write for articles, we write books, I do stupid things on Instagram and all this, you know, we do lots of different things, but so you'd expect more people to come to us via those channels. But there are people who go, I don't know about your Instagram stuff, I haven't read your book, Sarah.
Yes.
But they come to us saying, I liked your podcast though, and honestly, it takes your breath away because it's just a really heartwarming thing. So if you see us, please talk to us about the pod, and you know what, we'll probably get you on. So it's been really lovely. Yeah,
I found that at the Eisteddfod. Each year I go, and you know, I've been writing for Bardas and for Golwg and in various magazines and things. I've been around for quite some time, but then at this Eisteddfod, the one in Bodeian, a lot more people recognised me from the pod. A lot of people came across, and in a Bragdir Bay over in Caernarfon, someone came across, and he wasn't a Welsh learner, but he'd become aware of the podcast, and he thought it was a good idea. And it's like you said, it's a really, really nice feeling to think that something that we created just from coming together and thinking this will be funny,
this will be hilarious, and that the two people who listen to it will be yourself and myself, and it was just,
our friends,
maybe my mother if I can teach her how to use podcasts, and that's about it really. And then people, like you say, people come out and they say nice things, and it takes your breath away a little bit.
And the fact that it's available all that time later, so Alan had only come across it sort of many months after we put it out there.
Exactly.
And he was looking for something Welsh to listen to, and it came up, so that's
diolch yn fawr, Alan. Mae hwnna'n lovely I glywed. Very nice to hear, so mae hwnna'n lovely I glywed. Diolch. I should say hyfryd rather than lovely, but just let you know, when I said lovely then, I spelt it L-Y-F-L-I, so I get away with it, right?
And
lovely.
When I say really,
Welsh,
I don't mean really, I mean really.
Really,
and that
is
spelled R-I-L-I.
Correct.
By the way.
We feel like we need to make sure that that's out there, rather than people thinking we're just stealing English words, which we technically are, but we won't say that. We've got an excuse.
So here we are today in Tŷ Pawl, which is in the middle of the city of Wrexham. It's right in the city centre.
Yeah.
And Tŷ Pawl means everyone's house.
It does.
So
a very lovely name as well, yeah. Doesn't it? Tea, yeah.
So tea meaning
you pronounce
house.
It differently to me, don't you?
How do you say it?
See, you've got that definite northern twang. And this is... See, I would pronounce it the same way I'd say the word you, T-I-T, you know, sitoy tea. I would say tea.
Ah, so that's like much further back
it's
in
much
the
further
mouth.
Back, yeah.
So I say tea.
So, yeah, you've got that E sound in there as well,
yeah.
Haven't you?
Yeah,
that's my wife and I are forever falling out on this. And I'll say, "Oi, in the tea." She goes, "No, I'm not going to you." And I'm like, "Don't be pedantic. You know what I meant." So that's funny, but you've definitely got that E
tea.
Sound. Yeah.
Yeah,
but either way, tea, we are here in Tea Power. But you can probably hear people, the Burlum, Bethany Burlum and Saesneg.
Like, what is Burlum?
I don't know.
English?
It's like a little hustle and bustle kind
hustle
of thing,
bustle,
isn't it?
Hustle,
we'll go with
bustle,
that, shall we?
Burlum.
The Burlum that's going around here. There's loads of people here. A lot of bobl yma.
Cali Cynio, they're
having
their lunch.
Yeah, pobl yn bwyta, pobl yn yfed coffee.
A mae lle hyfryd gyda llaw, it's a lovely place to
it
come for
indeed.
Your lunch.
Mae yn hyfryd iawn.
Particularly, I'm very fond of curry on the go.
I can vouch for that also.
They do a very, very nice chicken tikka, although today they seem to have a special offer on lamb curry with rice, so I'm going to give that a go.
Oh yeah? Should we end the pod now so you can get some lunch? I wouldn't
no,
blame
no,
you.
No, afterwards.
All right, fair enough.
I just want to say what's really kind of nice, because we normally have an onomastics bit here.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Obviously Tea Power, but it's quite a new place, it's quite straightforward. But what is quite funny on the way here, I had set my TomTom or Google Maps, yeah. And obviously my Google Maps, I haven't taught it to speak Welsh, and it pronounced it Tai Porb.
Tai Porb.
Yeah. So Tai is obviously the
plural of
tea.
So houses.
It's houses.
Yeah.
And then Porb, to me, would mean like bakery, baking.
Well, yeah, because you'd say
the baking
Far Porb, baked beans,
oh, yeah.
The other way around. Obviously, Pobby is to bake.
Yeah.
And you'll hear it, well, pop tea would be a bakery or an oven as well.
Yeah.
So it's...
And the pop tea has the tea on the end, of course.
Well, yeah, and that's literally what it's called, a bakery, but it's sort of a northern term. We use pop tea in the north, whereas you'd probably hear furn in the south. Where you get the English word furnace from. It's from forni or forno in Italian and via Latin and things like that. So, so forn.
I
would say popdi. Pro honan a popdi. Put that in the oven. Pro honan a popdi. Whereas I definitely hear forn quite a bit.
Whereas I would say dwi'n rhoi hwn yn a popdi because I'm the one that cooks in my house. So I am putting this in the.
Well, no, that's
oven.
What I hear all the time. Hey. Stephen Roy on a pop tea. Yeah, all right, yeah.
Because that's about as much. You can't cook.
I can't cook. I can put things in the oven. I get told when to take them out.
Cheese sandwiches are not put in the oven.
Oh, do they not?
Unless
I've been doing it wrong. No wonder I didn't win that on Amdro.
There's these sandwiches that I made one time back in the 80s. I had the Wombles annual, and they were Uncle Bulgaria's cheese and pickle crispy sandwiches. So you made cheese and pickle sandwiches, and then you dipped them in egg, and then dipped them in crushed cornflakes, and then
put them in the pot.
Oh, they're nice. Don't knock it till you
Hold
try
on.
It.
You lost me at cornflakes.
Yeah. So you cook them in cornflakes, a bit like breadcrumbs, but you use cornflakes instead.
That is genius.
And then you put them in the popty, and all the cheese
all the fun
melts.
Yeah. For our southern listeners.
Yeah. And then they're very nice. And in fact, I think I might go home and try and make some. Yeah.
You'll have to make sure the lamb curry goes down before you start making those. Maybe a nice evening snack.
When I went on Amdroj, they ask you what's your favourite food, and that bit lasted for about 20 minutes, and in the end the cameraman was laughing so much because he was just like, God, we could do a whole like programme just on Sarah's favourite food
quite easily. Yes,
because I was like, oh, I forgot to tell you about it. I really like garlic mayonnaise on chips and on everything, and it's so nice.
But to be honest, I think they'd rather have got less time with me in front of the camera, if I'm honest. But it's a great little place here. My boyd and nice iawn. I come here quite often now, and I never would have before. The old people's market, of course, was this place, and as lovely as it was, I never really, because town for me was always Mold, you see. And
Wyddgrug,
that was always town for me. And it still is. If I say I'm going to town, I'm still talking about
Wyddgrug,
because there always will be, of course.
Yeah,
that's my vernacular now.
Exactly. Place.
Whereas nowadays, town for me, even though it's now a city, of course, is Wrexham. Whereas it's still Erwyddgrig for me. It's every time. But yeah, of course.
See, I grew up in Erddig.
Yes.
Erddig, which is less than 2 miles from the middle of town.
Yeah,
so I used to walk to here and back at least sort of twice a day during the holidays just for something to do.
I imagine, if you like, I used to come
here, in particular, Siopa Sysun used to have like an outpost.
I remember.
So I used to come here if I wanted to buy some Welsh music or
Do you know what? I'm trying to think where it was now, because this place
is. It was around the back by there, and there was like a carpet place, I think I remember.
There was, and it was. Of course, do you know what? Oh, this is bringing back some memories.
I know, isn't it nice? I think we've got to that age now. I mean, more than you, but where everything is about nostalgia, everything is about looking back over
retro
memories.
Retro Hiraeth, I think, is grabbing at our soul, I think. But look, I've been doing a lot of stuff lately, and it's just been bonkers. And I recently passed 50,000 people mad enough to follow me on Instagram. And it's just taking my breath away, and just the lovely things people have been saying. And do you know what, though? I get so many lovely comments from people saying, you know, they've enjoyed the stuff I do. And you know, I try and do a mixture of just in Welsh, just in English, bit of both, a couple of jokes, you know, as much as I can do to make the variety as much as I can. And people say wonderful things and ask me questions. But I tell you what, I've had on a few comments recently, people saying, I love how you get back at people if they say something bad. And I sort of... You know, I've grown up with this, as I'm sure you have, Sarah, where people say things against the Welsh language. And you know what? That's up to them. But the wonderful thing for me is that I'm disgustingly sarcastic. I never mean to bring anybody down and stuff and things like that. And I do always try and keep it quite jolly. And I'll never go for the jugular, as they say. But I do try and put little comments in there that make people think, do you know what? I'm just going to have a second thought about this. Just because the Welsh language doesn't mean something to you, that is just fine. You know, it doesn't mean it's dead. It doesn't mean something so special to so many people, and that people want to be a part of. You know, there's so many people out there who didn't get the opportunities, like myself, to have Welsh from the cradle, as they say. I wouldn't have been my fault had I not become fluent in the language. But I think it would have still been something that maybe I didn't regret, but something I think I would have liked to have had. And you know, I think people are appreciating that, but I think what some people don't appreciate is that there are so many people out there who do think the world of the language like that, whether they are native speakers or they've learnt the language. So that's what I've had the most of lately, about how I get back at people. I'm not sure how to take it, if I'm honest, but I've definitely enjoyed the ride. So Diolch I bawb am ddilyn, for everybody who's followed, and if you don't, it's Dr. Cymraeg on Instagram.
Every time I open Instagram, your face is looking back at me.
Sarah,
because you
I
make
have
so
to
many
apologize.
Videos.
I do. You know what? But that's the thing, though, isn't it? You're exactly the same as me. You and me will have a chat, be that over Messenger or something like that, and all of a sudden we'll be off on 17 different tangents.
That's
about
quite right.
About 86 different things that we love. But there's so much to love about. I'm not naive. If I'd have done a podcast about chairs, and I was passionate about chairs, I could tell you all the history and what makes them cool and what you can do with chairs.
This is definitely something that I share with you. We share that personality trait. Like recently, I had been reading Catcher in the Rye.
Oh yes.
Because I decided I needed to read this classic book. I can't remember why there was something, and I thought I must read this book. I've heard so much about it.
Yeah.
And I started reading it, and I did find it very hard going.
Okay.
But then I got to the bit about why it's called Catcher in the Rye.
You're gonna have to inform
and,
me on
that. It's because of a song that I wasn't aware of, but my husband was aware of it. Is Coming Through the Rye by Robert Burns. Well, at least he's the one who wrote it down.
Robbie Burns, as in the Scots?
Yeah.
Wow,
so
okay.
He wrote that one down. It was already a song that was out there, a Cairn Gwerin folk song.
Like a folk song, yeah.
And what Salinger does in the book, not to introduce too many spoilers, but he has the character hear it in Madison, and then he has the character form a whole thing around a mishearing of it or misremembering it. So it is actually coming through the rye, meet a body, beginner body, meet a body, coming through the rye.
Yeah.
But he remembers it as catch a body. And
no.
So he has this whole dream, or this sort of weird thing that he comes up with, that it makes him think about being in a rye field. And there's lots of little children, innocent children. So there's a thing about innocence in it.
Okay.
And he catches, he's there to catch them, to stop them going over the cliff, which is obviously a metaphor for like adulthood and becoming that sort of, you know, not innocent
Peter
anymore.
Pan connotations, I suppose,
yeah, yeah.
in a way.
And his little sister, because his little sister is basically saying, so, you know, can you think of one thing that you actually like? And first of all, he says his brother, who's dead. And then he says, well, you know, this is this dream that he's got. And his sister's just like, oh, my goodness. And he goes, she goes, it's a song by Robert Burns. And actually, it's Meter Body.
No.
And she's really like, and I mean, at that point, you know, the point where she's trying to sort of say to him, you know, is there something that you like? Is there something you're passionate about? Because he's got no ambition, nothing. He keeps dropping out of school and everything. And I was with her because I was like, I don't understand this character. I certainly don't understand why everyone's going on about this book, because I'm finding him very annoying. And then I read this interpretation online that loads of people like me kind of don't get the book because we find him annoying.
Right.
And the people that, and there's other people that don't get the book who see him as some sort of hero character, including the person that shot John Lennon and a few other people that have done,
was that
like
Lee Harvey Oswald, was that him?
No,
no, that was thingy,
shot,
wasn't it?
Shot Kennedy.
That was JFK, that.
What was his name? Chapman. Oh. Chapman.
Yeah. Lee Harvey, so, blinking Oswald.
So it's sort of like those two things are people who've misinterpreted the book.
Yeah.
And the book is supposed to be the point of like misremembering the song.
Yeah.
And also he misinterprets another thing at the beginning. You have to read the article I wrote.
Oh, I see. Basically,
is that to show that he thinks he's got it all sorted. He thinks he's like some kind of wise guy. But really, he's very young and he doesn't really know anything. He's just sort of, and he's constantly misinterpreting things and like coming up with big grand theories, like this idea of the catcher in the rye.
Man, that is bonkers. I love it.
But
there's that kind of a link with Welsh, because you can find yourself going off down these rabbit holes and finding these new ones and mishearing things, and then you find in language that
constantly,
a mishearing is what's come through. I can't,
or misreading,
you know, a misreading, and all
like that.
Exactly. And it,
like
it's,
I had heddwch
eilwch,
but it isn't. It's
heddwch eilwch. Yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't say grammatically there's a massive difference there, but either way, it is a misunderstanding of the term, and it's sort of.
But you said mine was very nice. So, heddwch eilwch, what did that literally translate?
Well, I suppose it would be his ashes are peace, rather than peace to his ashes. So, I mean, it's the same kind of sentiment, isn't it?
But so many years, I have been saying heddwch eilwch, and then it came up on Facebook, and I was like, oh.
I'll tell you one that gets me, and do you know what? I still don't know the answer. I always presume that when you say diolch o'r galon,
yeah,
I always thought it was diolch o'r galon. Thank you from the heart, or O apostrophe R. Which brings us to O apostrophe M in a minute, so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But O apostrophe R is from the, or of the. So diolch o'r galon. Yeah. However, every time I interact with it, or I see it written, or hear it, or anything like that, because you see it on lovely little posters and things.
Yeah.
It's always diolch o'r galon, from a heart. And do you know what? I don't know which the correct one is, because I'd have thought grammatically it had been
I've
more...
I've always said or galon, I've never
or
said
or. Just or without the apostrophe. No, see, I always put the r in there, the.
Okay.
So you would say, and I think you're correct here, thanks from a heart, or thanks of a heart, which, you know, is a beautiful sentiment itself. I always thought it was diolch or galon, thank you from the heart. I believe you're correct. But I just, my mind won't let me do it. I think when I say it, I just subconsciously
so you
say diolch o'r galon.
Because you know what they maybe should be, or what grammatically
should
makes
in,
sense.
Should, in inverted commas.
Whereas
but
I'm much more of someone who's gone around absorbing bits.
And
just saying them without really knowing the true essence of the meaning.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Salinger just for a second.
Please, sorry,
I became completely obsessed with Salinger. But this happens, my husband is quite similar to me.
Yeah.
So we kind of go on like a sleigh ride where I'm sort of like going on and on and on about Salinger. I read everything about him, and I was listening. I even listened to a song.
You might as well write his biography for him. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, there's a possibility that we might go up to Scotland because I was thinking all this stuff has come from this one little song from Scotland. And then I was looking into rye in Scotland. I was looking at corn dollies and you can make corn dollies out of rye.
Yeah.
But also, they are starting now. As it happens, there's a new movement to try and bring rye whiskey as a thing back to Scotland.
Wow.
And so they found this place that you can go and you can stay and you can try all these different whiskies and cocktails and stuff.
Oh, that sounds dangerous to me.
So yeah, it's still kind of in the background, that going on, because I was listening to Coming Through the Rye all the time, beautiful song and everything.
It just sends you to these places, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that's very much the kind of person that I am. So my most recent article in Bardas magazine is all about that. And it ends by going back to the beginning of Catcher in the Rye and the other mistake he makes, because his friend wants him to write an essay for him.
Fine.
And it had to be about a thing. And what his friend meant was like a house or a room. It had to be descriptive. And so he ends up writing about his dead brother's baseball glove, catching glove, which of course again is a thing
the
to catch. And his brother had written in green ink lots of poetry on this catcher's glove, so that when he's out in the fields and there's nothing to do, he can read the poems.
That's amazing.
Which I thought was amazing.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now I just put them on my notes app on my phone. But either way, it's a hence why it's become a classic, Sarah, I believe.
But do you know something else?
Go.
Another connection then.
Don't ruin this for people.
It's a connection to something else you might not have realised, think. The film Field of Dreams, which actually comes from the book Shoeless Joe.
Because there is like a field there where they come out to play, don't they?
And there is a catcher in the story who turns out to be his father.
Oh, I'm not having this.
And actually, in the book, The Terence Mann character is called Salinger. He is actually Salinger, the writer. But Salinger threatened to sue him if he made the film with his name in it.
Yeah?
Because actually the storyline is too spookily similar to what actually happened to Salinger, because he went out and lived in the countryside.
Right.
And loads of people saw him as some sort of prophet, like they do with Terence Mann. And they'd go to him. They'd go to him to try to talk to him. That's what Kevin Costner's character does, Ray Kinsella. But he actually pretends to do it at gunpoint, so obviously that's quite sort of, I can see why Salinger would be quite,
You don't want to associate yourself.
But so, yeah, there's all those wonderful connections to it as well. So.
That has blown my tiny mind, if I'm honest.
That's
the
kind of thing that happens.
But this is
in
what happens. But this is the point.
You're
tangentials here and stuff. And speaking of, you mentioned there about going to Scotland for whiskey. Would you like to hear a fun fact about whiskey?
Oh, go on.
Yeah. So obviously the Welsh word is whisky with a chw at the start. Or you can just say whiskey, spelt WISGI. However, in the Gaelic languages, it would be ishgabeha. Now that's, I believe, more the Scottish pronunciation. So ushka there means water.
Oh.
And the beha there is very like much like biu, life or living. So it means the water of life.
Oh, I love that.
So, you know, vita, what's the word? What's the word? Aqua vita and all those sort of connotations. So whiskey to the Gaels was ushka beha. So it would have been the water of life. The problem was when the sort of non-Gaelic speakers got hold of it, they couldn't say ushka beha.
No, it's quite.
They could only say ushka, which then morphed into whiskey. So the joke is from the Gaelic people is that when non-Gaels drink whiskey, they're only drinking the ushka part. You're only drinking water. Whereas if you come up here,
you
get the ushka
beha. I find this extraordinary that
it's
you
great,
were not prompted. You had no idea I was going to go off and talk about whiskey, and that just happened to be lying around.
There's a lot
of
things
mind.
Lying around in this place, Sarah. You know this full,
but
it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really cool.
So they aren't properly drinking whiskey.
That is the in joke with the Gaels and the Gaelic peoples and even I suppose to us Welsh as well. And you know, we only drink obviously whiskey, even though it's spelled in a Welsh way, or whisky.
You should come up with a different name for it then.
Do you know what? I couldn't agree. Now, however, the Cornish word is dour tom. Now dour there is dour.
Oh yeah.
Tom. Is they also have poth in Cornish. Tom is cognate with Welsh twym, warm, and obviously poth is poith. So in Cornish, it's just warm water. So the problem there, it is something that if you've ever
it's
had a whiskey,
warming,
you know, it warms you up, you know. Whereas if we were to use dŵr poeth, the Welsh connotation, dŵr poeth is acid reflux.
Yeah.
So we couldn't use that term, hence why we've gone down the ishka route, and Cornish have just gone dŵr tom. Although some people say dŵr tom albanek, obviously Scottish warm water, or dŵr tom Iwerddonek, Irish warm water. So, oh my gosh. Any more tangents? Well, actually, you wanted to bring up something where I mentioned before with the Diolch o'r galon, a Diolch o'r galon with the O apostrophe R. You mentioned earlier, what was your
So basically, I think I've noticed other people from this area doing this where it's sort of a slight awkwardness around, like, you say, sort of, if you're trying to say, like, the something.
So my and then having something, like, something belongs to me.
It, yeah. And it's just like, ooh, it doesn't quite flow.
Of my sort of thing.
And even when I write it down, that's how I've been writing, like, or the something.
Yeah.
And then I've noticed that Tom Morris at Badalas and also Alan Chivers at Golog 360 often change this to om, which
yes.
I agree flows nicely. And
now
I'm going to start writing it like that. But I want to know why. I want to understand.
No, do you know what? You are not wrong is the main point. Over, of my, or from my. So dwi'n dod ofyn hi, I'm coming from my house, or I don't know, some other things like that. You know, you can most definitely say over. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all.
It's quite clunky.
It is quite clunky. And to be honest, that's more of a more recent development. Possibly even following the way English does it. However, there is a more, not a native way, but a more traditional, not archaic either, it's definitely a more traditional way of doing it, a more literary way of doing it is the term. And it's using a contraction between O apostrophe M. And the M in there, if you think of the word me in Welsh, which is V, but you can also say me. So you'd say things like Rohonai V, but you'd also say Rohonai me, give that to me. So both are totally fine, both are totally acceptable, but a throwback to, instead of using the, as in my, as it belongs to me, it's my something. There must have been a term, and I don't know what it is, I think it comes from meme or something in Proto-Celtic, but it would have been the possessive, it belongs to me, and that sort of developed into Welsh then as om, which just means of my or from my. The stupidly cool thing about it is, the word v, meaning my, of course, causes a nasal mutation. Than he, my house. Than half, my cat. Than mahobol, my people. Whereas the contracted form m does not cause that mutation. However, it does add a h on vowels. So if I was going to say from my apple, I don't know why I'd ever say that. From my school, that makes more sense, doesn't it? I would say over a skull. My own dad over a skull. He's coming from my school, or
it
he comes from my school.
Wrong.
It does sound wrong, but it's not. So, you know, my own dad over a skull. He comes from my school. However, if I wanted to use the posh way that you raise here, I'd say my own dad on her skull.
Now, I thought you only use a H if
you
it's
do.
A female.
Exactly right. Okay. So
feminist,
you do, so this is
feminist.
The yeah exactly
female.
So yeah yeah but so after a feminine a her skull her school whereas a skull without the h is his school
yeah.
We also add it with ain so our ain her skull our school and with a plural there so a her skull eu would be their school so we do it with that as well. They're the only times that it adds a h unless we're using om. And it's forgotten quite a bit. I think because you're so used to the causing a nasal mutation and not adding a H, but you, when you say om, people forget that it needs it. So it's quite unique in that way. It's quite different. You can use it as well with im, just like in our anthem, Plaid Ioluwyf, im glad. So om would be from my or for my, im would be to my.
But what's the apostrophe denoting that's been removed?
So, well, that's the question, isn't it? I think it's just denoting a contraction rather than a letter having come off. Whereas, like I say, in Proto-Celtic, it probably was something like me or meme or something like that. So maybe it just denotes a shortening of that term. I would say that's unlikely. But I think it's just a case of we can't just put a m on its own.
No.
I think.
Okay.
So they try to
bring it together.
I think so, yeah.
And that's
so you are welcome to say over, either, to my. You're welcome to say those things.
But it is more difficult and you'll find yourself almost stuttering.
Yeah.
And then looking and then saying. And I've noticed here yesterday, I noticed somebody doing
it.
In
T-Powder.
Yeah, someone who I knew. And I was interested.
Sort of stuttering over something.
And I think it happened as well when I was over in my Scaramon. One of the kids was saying, oh, I'm not quite sure how to say this. And he said that in Welsh. But, and then I said, no, you're okay. No,
yeah,
I have
no,
the same
pattern. Yeah.
So,
it's really cool. Oh, we've got music now. But however, It's a little DJ behind us now.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get our pod taken down for putting music on, I think, aren't they? They're going to shout at us.
No, I think it's his own music, though.
Is it his own? Yeah. In which case,
we'll have to give him royalties by the sounds of it. But it's really, really interesting. So, I'm hoping you can still hear us on this. I might have to do some editing later. But, this has been... I'm so glad we've got this back up and running again.
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing. But you want to mention something from a magazine we've done recently before we wrap up, I reckon?
So basically, you are an editor on Cairn magazine.
I am.
Which is?
So it's like, it's more of a celebration in a way of the Celtic nations. It teeters towards more political elements of the Celtic nations, whereas my passion's more for the languages. However, it is still a celebration of Celticness, and in each, there are 12 articles in each on average, and there's one for each Celtic nation, or two for each Celtic nation. Usually it's one will be in the native language and one will be in English. There's a little synopsis at the bottom if it's been written in those in the native languages. But it's a really beautiful little thing and a very cross-Celtic idea, which is great. I've invited you to write for it, and you've written some beautiful stuff. And there's a really heartwarming story about which you wrote recently. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote about the fact that we've had this ongoing saga in Wrexham.
Yeah.
Where a parent had been trying to get Welsh language swimming lessons for his children, and there were lots of people wanting this, but all the swimming lessons are only in English.
And
I looked into it because I'd seen it on the Colic website, and I wrote about my own experiences. I actually trained over in Chester for some reason.
Okay.
And I'd written about the fact that when I was over in Bangor, I saw this sort of lovely sort of little exchange where the guy was speaking in English to the children. But the little girl didn't. She spoke enough English to understand what he was saying. But all of a sudden, in the middle of it, she went kitchen, and he went kegging. Yeah, and she understood what he meant. And you sort of think that's beautiful. But
it is.
If he hadn't spoken Welsh, that might have been a bit of a tricky.
It just
made you think. Why isn't she having her lessons in Welsh? She lives over in Bangor, and obviously Welsh is her first language.
Of course.
So it made me think about that a little bit more. And then I got really into it, and I wrote to Novio Cymru, Swim Wales, and I found out loads of stuff. And it's not actually possible to train through the medium of Welsh, or you can train.
They have trained to be like a swimming instructor sort of thing.
Who speaks Welsh to teach the training. So if you want to do the qualification to be able to teach, you mostly have to do that through the medium of English, even if you're then going to teach through the medium of Welsh. There is a tutor that they have, but they've only ever had anyone asking, can we do it in Welsh in Gwynedd and Ynysmon?
Right.
Which, of course, is kind of not true now, because what we're saying is we need some instructors in Wrexham who can teach through the medium of Welsh.
Yes.
So it makes sense for them to be trained through the medium of Welsh.
Correct.
And I have put a little bit in thing in here about the fact that I did my PhD through the medium of English.
Yeah.
But then I was teaching with the Coleg Cymraeg and teaching it in Welsh. And one of the main sticking points in both of these scenarios is resources. Because, of course, we didn't have any of the textbooks or anything in Welsh, and we didn't even have a lot of the terms for medical sociology, for the sociology of health and illness. They don't exist.
Yeah, but it's something that has to develop over time, I think, doesn't it? Yeah, of course.
But it's very hard when you're trying to teach a subject and you've got not got the word for medicalisation, burnout, you haven't got any of these terms.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I found out also that even if you can have that one instructor to teach you to teach, and you can have that in Welsh, all of the booklets and stuff and all of the terminology is in English. And it's just that complicated matter then. You're teaching little children to swim. You're trying to keep them safe. And you are trying to teach them to swim.
In a fun and interactive way as well.
Yeah. And then all the terminology and the training materials, all the published written stuff is all in English. It's just that extra layer of complication.
It's heartbreaking in a way. So, and that's what you've written about, actually.
Yes. But in the time since this, because obviously it's been a massive
campaign. Yes, you were talking about this earlier.
Somehow I think they have all come together. So it's been in the news, and this parent had, in the end, in desperation, he'd put up some money and said, I will pay for someone to train. And there's all this stuff going on. And I think they've come together with the IRD and the council, and lots of people have come together. And anyway, they have now got some swimming lessons on a Wednesday in Wrexham through the medium of Welsh.
So it's all down to you, essentially.
No, not at all. It's down to this
it's about all the people, including yourself, raising awareness for this. And that's what it is. If you don't call for it, then very unlikely that people are going to even let it cross their mind, never mind have the chance to ignore it.
Yeah.
So,
and so now that we're in that situation, though, that's very what I've called bregus. And that's actually the first
fragile
word that comes to my
bregus,
mind, is bregus. Because, you know, that's one little bit of swimming lessons that's on the one evening. And also the people that are doing it, they're going to get minimum wage. They're going to be on like £16 an hour. It's peripatetic. There's no regular hours.
Correct.
And on top of which, it's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of linguistic stuff going on there. You're going to have to be translating it in your mind. You're going to have to be making sure that it's going to be words that are going to be gyfarwydd, that are going to be familiar
to
the children. So it's quite a... there's still a long way to go.
Of course there is, but it has to start somewhere.
So it has begun, and I'm glad.
Blinking heck. Well, do you know what? I was so impressed when you were telling me about it before. I was so made up, but now you've gone into a little bit more detail. It's amazing. But these are the kind of things you have to fight for,
for
better or worse.
Yeah,
it's massively important. You know, I would like. What if my son wants to do swimming when he's old? You know, he's three now, so maybe he will. He loves it in the bath. He goes, "Daddy, dwi'n nofio yn y dŵr." We nofio yn y dŵr, and then he'll say it in English, swimming in the water, nofio yn y dŵr. He loves that.
See how he's already a mini you. He's already repeating things in Welsh and in English.
He is. It's not bad. I think it's because he's recognised the term. I think somebody's mentioned swimming in nursery. Obviously, he goes to the nursery in English, because here's another thing we need to write about. There's no Welsh medium nurseries around here in Flintshire and things like that. So, he's just... But everything else he'll say in Welsh to me, but he just...
But it's those little experiences that can really flip between the speaking Welsh for a lifetime and not. Mm. So it's like with the school, obviously all of my experiences at school, all the lovely experiences of singing and things like that are all in Welsh. So even like when I was in Liverpool and like wasn't speaking Welsh at all those memories are still in Welsh. So having the swimming through the medium of Welsh, it's just that extra layer of something that the children can do in Welsh. Even in a place as English as this area is, on this side of the Clwydian range.
Indeed.
Having those little things. So having events here, like there was an event here yesterday because it was St. David's Day.
Indeed. I was here actually. I was around the parade, but I didn't come in here, so I had just passed
you. Because I came in here to listen to Megan Lee, who is our local superstar and soon to be international superstar. She's a fabulous singer. We'll have to get her on the pod sometime to talk about her Welsh song.
I know Dad as well. So,
so do I. I went to school with him.
Did you?
Yeah.
I met him on a first aid course. Absolute hero of a guy. Really nice guy.
And then Maynard Gwilym, who is obviously an international star, and she did something with Yamaha as well.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was really fabulous. And you just think, it's those little things, so people can hear that little bit of Welsh around the place.
People, it's an easy thing to fall in love with, I think, isn't it? And I think we can just keep sharing how lovely this is. And we're doing something right. And I hope we're doing that with our wonderful podcast that we can now do a little bit more regularly, so long as time is our friend and on our side.
But we also want to bring in, obviously, our international people. We can have people, if we do it via Zoom.
Yeah.
We can. There's no reason why we can't speak to some of your fans that are out in Mexico and places.
Oh, my word, of course.
And just to give a slight plug, I have a new book which will be coming out. It's going to be published by an international indie press called Farmadan. And I've done a lot of writing and things for them. I'm now a reader for Farmadan. And the version they're going to publish now is a long saga, but they're going to be publishing the English version.
Okay.
And Anthony lives in Kuwait most of the time.
Oh, my word.
But he also is a student at the university, one of the universities in London. And so it'd be really cool to be able to bring him on the pod, because he has been learning Welsh and has been reading my stuff in Welsh.
This is what we need.
So wouldn't
that be
amazing? We'd be in Kuwait and Caergwrle, and either in Kilgorry
or wherever
I am.
Wherever you are,
because I might be here in Wrexham, might be in the office or something like that.
Global.
Yeah.
Global is the term. Yes. Oh, I love it. But, hey, I've just enjoyed doing this again and getting the chance to moan at people and talk to people and things like that. So, yeah. So, I think, diolch am rando from me, really. I am on Twitter still as Cymraeg Have I got an underscore? No, I think I'm just Cymraeg Doctor, aren't I? However, my newfound fame is on Instagram. So if you'd like to find me there, you can indeed. And I apparently my things also post to Facebook. So have a look for Dr. Cymraeg on there. It would mean the world to me.
And I am still Seren Siwena. So Seren as in star indeed. In Welsh. And Siwena as in the planet in Isaac Asimov's Foundation series, where it is socially impossible almost not to drink tea.
It's just the greatest name. You're far too cultured for this.
And it's also King Hanneth, because it's King Hanneth.
Seren
Siwena. Seren Siwena. Yeah.
See how much of a smarty pants she is?
Yeah,
this is what I have to deal with. This is why we need people from Kuwait and Mexico and everywhere else. So yeah, this is what I'm dealing with. A total smarty pants. So we definitely need more smarty pantses in here. So just to drown me out, really. More smarty pantses, and I'll just sit in the corner and smile at everybody. But that will be absolutely wonderful. So yeah, hey, diolch am hyn. Neis gweld ti hefyd.
Yeah,
I haven't seen you for a little bit, so only in passing. So yeah, nice to get a bit of this. Are you off for a curry or what?
Yes, absolutely.
Gwych. Well, diolch I ti pawb, even though, you know, we're just here for the hell of it anyway. But diolch anyway. But yeah, definitely somewhere you should check out, I think, ti pawb, isn't it?
Yeah, if you happen to be coming to Wrexham for a little holiday, which you might be if you're interested in the football.
Haha, yeah. Football, is there something going on with the football in Wrexham? Right, diolch, Sarah.
Diolch.
Ta-ra.
Ta-ra.